have no idea what loss is. You have no idea what loss is.
I reckon it's got something to do with that girl.
It's got everything to do with that little girl.
I can take care of myself.
How many close calls have we had?
Can't be any worse out there. Can it?
Every guy in this room is staring at you right now. Maybe they're staring at you. Maybe they're jealous of you. I'm just a girl. Not a threat.
Belly. I think they should be terrified of you.
Welcome to the world of The Last of Us. It's Entertainment Talk's podcast for the Naughty Dog video game series and the HBO on Max and Sky Atlantic television series. I'm your host, Matthew, and joining me today, my co-host is David. How's it going?
I'm doing well, thanks.
Good, good. So before we get into, well, our coverage here of season two has technically already started because I've done, you know, the two or the three different trailer breakdowns and obviously talked about, you know, I've been talking about season two for a while, let's be honest. we're going to do something a little bit different today, and I wasn't entirely sure how we should cover this specific topic because I thought, okay, if we maybe slide it in the spoiler-free season preview somewhere. And then I thought that might not work. And then I thought, okay, we'll just do this as a separate episode. So I have three different screenshots of information. I've got my own thoughts and my own things that I know about with this situation. So I'm going to tell you what we're about to talk about and then start explaining things and giving some information. I think that's maybe the best way to do this. So for those of you that don't know, is a guy called Neil Druckmann. And the different roles he's had with The Last of Us, because some of you might just, you know, you might have just played the game, thought, cool, that was great, whatever. Credits came up, maybe you skipped the credits or whatever, and then you finished it, and then you just watched the episodes. Because not everybody pays full attention to, like, who the creators are, who the directors are, who the writers are, who even works at, you know, Naughty Dog and that sort of thing. Neil Druckmann, he is, you could kind of call him the brains behind The Last of Us, but obviously it's not just him. So if you go all the way back to, obviously, 2013 with Last of Us 1, he sort of co-directed that with a guy called Bruce Stradley. Bruce Stradley doesn't work on Naughty Dog anymore. And I think the two specific titles they were given was, I think Neil was creative director, and then Bruce was given a different creator title. They're both basically co-creators, but they're sort of, you know, certain categories and stuff. That was the first game that Neil directed, which, not bad going for your first outing, I suppose. To obviously launch a new IP and all that kind of stuff. So he did that, and then has stayed with Naughty Dog, obviously, ever since. I think when he started Naughty Dog was back in the Jack and Daxter, I think Jack 2, because he did a creator-to-creator interview recently with Alex Garland, who did, like, the 28 Days Later film and, a bunch of other stuff. And he kind of mentioned in that he started properly with Naughty Dog in and around the Jack and Daxter era, because they went from Crash, Jack and Daxter, then Uncharted, then Last of Us. Not in that exact order, but that's basically how things went. And then he got involved with things like Uncharted. That's where you may have heard of the name Amy Henning as well. She's working on her own, I think it's that Marvel Captain America versus Black Panther game or something like that at her new studio. So she's left since then. She left after Uncharted 4, of which Neil was involved with and that sort of thing as well. And obviously, come around to 2020, Last of Us Part 2, which is what this second season is about to at least adapt a portion of. So he did that, and again, was the main director there, and he brought in a woman called Hallie Gross, who you might have heard of as well, and co-directed and sort of co-wrote that with her, because again, Bruce had gone by that point and that sort of thing. Then Neil was promoted, I think it was in the same year Last of Us Part 2 came out, was promoted to co-president of Naughty Dog alongside, I think it was Evan Wells is the guy's name. I've learned since then, and I didn't know this. I think a couple of years ago, Evan Wells retired. So I don't know if that means that Neil is now still co-president with somebody else, or if he's in sole control of, well, not sole control of the company, but the solo sort of president of Naughty Dog. And obviously now he's working on a game you might have seen at the Game Awards, and we've talked about it on Gaming Talk, called Intergalactic: The Heretic Prophet, which he also talked about with Alex as well. Alex Garland, and he sort of mentioned some bits about that. That's maybe coming out in 2027, but we'll see. He is directing that game, so yeah, that's kind of there's more I can get into. There's a whole Amy Henning thing and Bruce Stradley thing, and all that kind of stuff. People have like blamed Neil over the years of like, hey, he kicked Bruce out and he kicked Amy out, and sometimes people just leave roles and they retire, and these things just kind of happen. So yeah, plus Amy had the whole fallout with EA and Star Wars, but we don't need to get into that here. So yeah, that's kind of a brief description, a kind of summary of like who Neil Druckmann actually is. Now, of course, he's teaming up with Craig Mazin. I almost forgot the guy's name. Craig Mazin, who's the actual official showrunner of Last of Us Seasons 1 and 2, which obviously we covered Season 1, and we're going to be covering Season 2. Now, the way that Neil's described kind of his work so far with Craig is he obviously has sat down, had multiple conversations with Craig about how to do things, how they want to adapt certain bits and pieces, because it's not like co a copy and paste, is it? It's an adaptation. They add new things and all that kind of stuff. And he essentially kind of said like he has to leave this new guy with his baby on set, sort of thing, because he can't always be on set every day because he has to run Naughty Dog still and obviously work on probably brainstorming a bunch of stuff, and then obviously directing Intergalactic. So that's where that kind of is at. So yeah, that's kind of Neil Druckmann for those of you who kind of didn't know. And again, I'm going to put just a simple image of him for the thumbnail. I don't need to do anything particularly crazy with that. Now, what we're here to specifically talk about today, for those of you that have maybe been living under a rock for 3 years, well, no, 2 years or so, although this goes back a long, 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 long time. There is obviously the conflict between Israel and Palestine, which obviously also involves Hamas as well. And so a little bit of actual background on Neil in that sense. He is from, I might say the name wrong, T Tel Aviv, I think it's called, from Israel. That's
Nice.
where he was actually born. He himself is Jewish. So that's kind of his background on that. I don't have like his, history or IMDb kind of thing in front of me. I looked that up before, and that's just the thing I remember. So yeah, he's from there, and so he's posted a few things. A few things he's got kind of moaned at for posting, of which I'll go into and read in a moment. But yeah, because there's a lot of like, because there's a lot of kind of, hey, if you say you support one side or the other, of Israel and Hamas, because Palestine's not the one that's killing Israel people, that is what Hamas is doing. Because people get confused for some reason when you say, hey, I support Palestine, I want Palestine to be free, and you get kind of jumped on by people that say, hey, is that means you support Hamas, that means you're a terrorist and you're a murderer, and people get, ridiculously carried away with all that. Of which some people have kind of said to me before, of like, hey, what do you mean you want Palestine to be free? Does that mean that you want Hamas to keep killing people? Obviously not. But of course, with the whole nitty-gritty thing of, picking a side or supporting one side's decision in some way, shape, or form, you just get kind of, I mean, we know what the internet can be like, and we know what Twitter and things like that can be like. Where people just kind of jump on you and call you a terrorist and a murderer, and even if you're just simply saying like, "Hey, these people are dying, I want that to stop happening," so you get into kind of the nitty-gritty of all that sort of stuff. All right, I should probably read these three posts I've got, and I just want to kind of ease people. It could because this is such a sort of what's the way to describe this? Hypersensitive situation where it's like if someone even thinks you've said the slight different thing to what you mean. It means that you're like fine with people getting killed on one side or the other.
Yeah.
To make my screen bright here. So, where do we have this? Right, the three different posts. So this first one is to do with, and I'm going to get into, I don't need to obviously spoil the game or whatever. One thing Neil's also been kind of accused of over the years. Now, bear in mind, it has actually been 5 years since Part Two came out, as weird as it actually is, because we waited for so long for the game. It's been out for 5 years. Obviously, there's been a whole bunch of different kind of discussions about it. One of the things he's been kind of accused of is like, okay, because you're an quote unquote Israel supporter, which we'll get onto Neil's stance on that kind of stuff in a minute, did you copy and paste like the Israel-Palestine conflict and put it in Last of Us Part Two? I would lean more towards no. There's similarities with certain things, but obviously, in a world like Last of Us, when you do get murder and things of it happening, there's going to be certain themes with like conflicts and murder and things like that, things of that nature that pop up. There's going to be certain similar themes. Anyway, it says the formulation. For Ellie's turn towards darkness can be traced back to the year 2000. Then, in his late teens, Druckmann, so Neil Druckmann, witnessed news footage of a crowd lynching two Israeli soldiers in the West Bank. And it says, quote, and then they cheered afterwards. Druckmann, who grew up in Israel, again, Tel Aviv, Israel, recalls it was the cheering that was really chilling to me. In my mind, I thought, oh man, if I could just push a button and kill all these people that committed this horrible act, I would make them feel the same pain that they inflicted on these people. The feeling faded, though eventually he looked back and felt gross and guilty for his intense feelings. With The Last of Us Part Two, he wanted to explore emotional tumult on a didactical level. So again, that's where he gets accused of like, oh, does that mean that you copy and pasted this Israel-Palestine thing and you put it into, part two as propaganda and all this kind of stuff? But if that's someone's opinion and they want to look at it that way and that's what they took from part two, I think you took the incorrect thing from that. But yeah, there's certain, and it's not a one-to-one of like, oh, Last of Us 2 story and Israel Palestine. Those are the only two things in the entire world that share these similar themes. I'm sure there's been probably other war stories and other, whether it's fictional war stories or real world conflicts. There's usually a lot of crossover with some of the same themes, like hostages and murder and all that kind of stuff. So it's not a sort of one-to-one where it's he copy and pasted it. There may have been some influence, but then when you have this experience, and this is when he was in his teenage years in 2000, you're gonna remember things like that, and that's gonna fundamentally affect and shape like the way you think of stuff, who you kind of become, and all those sorts of things. One thing I kind of want all of us to take away from this podcast as well, I should have maybe mentioned this a bit earlier. And this is just the way I kind of look at things. It doesn't mean you have to agree with what I'm about to say or all that kind of stuff. When you hear someone talking about a conflict or a situation and their experience is fundamentally completely different to yours, so like Neil's experience of what's going on with Israel Palestine is different to mine, for example. I didn't grow up in Israel, I've never been anywhere near it or, been involved with it at all. I'm not Jewish and all that kind of stuff. So, we're going to have different experiences. It's not necessarily a case of you, when you listen to or read something that Neil said about this conflict, that you have to agree or accept what he said. I don't think that's something that you have to do, but something that I think we should try to do when we listen to somebody who's a bit more level-headed when they're talking about this kind of stuff, and not somebody who just jumps at you and calls you a murderer and a terrorist for believing certain things. If you can, like, let's say that, like, that individual story in of itself, when you look at that, you can. The one thing I think we should take away from that is an understanding, not an accepting or an agreeing of, oh, yeah, I agree or accept Neil's emotions or Neil's thoughts as to how he came away from that. And it says there as well that even he himself You know, was heated in the moment. He'd seen these two people get lynched, and that obviously affected him and all that sort of thing. I think just a basic kind of understanding of, okay, if you were in his shoes, for example, would you think that you would maybe feel somewhat of the same way as to what he has, but not necessarily agreeing or accepting the feelings he's got from that, because you don't have to do that part, I think. So that's kind of the first part of this. I guess we can kind of go one by one with these different screenshots I've got. What do you kind of think of, like, well, I guess the situation overall and this first like story I've kind of pointed out here?
Well, I mean, from as far as I can tell, what he's basically was saying was, yeah, he saw this horrific thing on TV when he was in his 20s, had this particular thought and emotion about it, at the time, felt guilty afterwards for having or disturbed or being disturbed by that, the fact that he had that emotion. And when it came to The Last of Us Part Two, he incorporated some of those themes in terms of sort of revenge and trauma and violence into the game. And if people are getting upset because something which is sort of part of his life experience, he is then using as a backdrop to create something which is entirely outside of that world, you may well throw out pretty much any novel you've ever read, a whole bunch of other
True,
video games.
yeah.
I mean, because most writers will draw from their real life experience in some way, and they will get inspiration from things that happen in the real world. I mean, just other video game examples. You've got the entire Assassin's Creed series is based around various historical conflicts. Now, admittedly, this is an ongoing conflict, so that is, but then you've got the Battlefield series, which is based around ongoing conflicts, as far as I'm aware. You have games like This War of Mine, which is based around the siege of Sarajevo. You've got, I mean, there are a lot of games, books, and every content that TV shows, they're all based on the writers' real life experience in a lot in some way. I mean, even your out there sci-fi stuff will be based in some at some point on something that has affected them in real life. So I think to lump that onto him for taking an inspiration of going, okay, this thing happened, I saw it and it affected me in this particular way. That would be an interesting thing to explore in terms of sort of, revenge and trauma and, people that are in conflicts. I mean, in that respect, it doesn't necessarily, I mean, although it was the Israeli-Palestinian situation that he was referring to, pretty much could have been a dozen different wars or conflicts that are going on around the globe or have done over the last sort of 10, 20 years. I mean, there are these horrific acts that happen all over the world. And I mean, yeah, he saw that one. It was something that was close to him and it affected him, obviously. But if you're gonna complain about creative people drawing on things that they've seen in real life, that seems a little ridiculous to me. And it's not like he, I mean, I have not played Last of Us Part Two, so I like can't comment in what else he may have lifted, if there were other things as well. But on that particular point, I think it's a very strange thing to come after him for if people were getting upset about that. So, yeah.
Hi there. If you're looking to get started with a website of your own and a domain name, we've got good news for you. With our affiliate link with Kualu, you can click on that link, which is in your show notes, which is for our affiliate link. You can go over to Kualu to get started with your website and domain name today. They've also got a very handy chat support system, which is usually in the bottom right hand corner, to send messages back and forth to Kualu if you'd like to ask them for help to get started with your domain name and website today. So that's Kualu, and you can use them to get started with your website and domain name today. Thank you very much to Kualu for this affiliate link. Hi there. If you'd like to get rid of the ads in Entertainment Talks podcasts and listen to the ad-free versions of our episodes, we've got good news for you there as well. You can subscribe to Entertainment Talk at either the $5 level tier or $10 level tier. The $5 level tier will get you access to all of Entertainment Talk's previous ad-free podcasts and the future ad-free podcasts that we make in the month that you're subscribed for. If you also subscribe to us at the $10 level tier, that will get you that benefit that I've just mentioned, and it'll also grant you access to request a review for 2 episodes of a TV show and a general discussion on that show, or a film review of your choice. So if there's a TV show out there or a film that we've not covered perhaps and you'd like our opinion on it, we can watch 2 episodes of that TV show or film review. So it's one of either of those per month. Of course, if you continue subscribing each month, you can pick a TV show, then a film the next month, and so on and so forth. This is a great way to support Entertainment Talk, get your ad-free podcasts, and also get some reviews of your choice. Thank you very much for supporting us, and thank you for listening. Back to the show.
The thing is, as well, though, as attained to Last of Us 2's actual plot, when people say about, like, oh, the Israel-Palestine thing and how that relates to Last of Us 2 and one of the plot lines, and, that you know, the accusation of, like, oh, it's Israel propaganda and, you know, all these sorts of things. And there is a Jewish character in the game. It's a very, very small spoiler, but Dina is Jewish in the game. And there's a little section where... you go to, is it called a synagogue? I think that's the correct name. And she talks about, like, her family's, she says something like, you know, long line of survivors, obviously hinting towards, you know, the Holocaust and all that sort of thing. So yeah, there's that in there, but that's not even, the bit that gets me is when, you know, obviously the accusation of, like, oh, the Israeli propaganda and stuff, that's not actually, it's a big... The way that that puts itself into part two and the plot line that comes out from that is a big piece of the game, but it's not actually even the A plot of the story. It links to it, but it's not like the actual main. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that happens in part two anyway, but the main kind of the main big bits of it, that's not the because, you know, they say like A B C plot or whatever. I wouldn't, and I'm gonna say that as more of an opinion than a fact, that that's not the A sort of driving main force of the plot. That's something that, like, kind of comes up a bit later in the story once you get to certain other bits. So yeah, that's kind of the first part of this. Then I have here this, I think this was from a while ago, but again, the conflict's been going on a while itself. There's a post that he quote tweeted. So the thing that he quote tweeted from is something called the Jerusalem Post. And just bear in mind that some stuff we are going to talk about here isn't going to be very nice, but if you're aware of the situation, you know that there's been young people that have been killed as well, which is obviously really, really awful and sad. Anyway, it says, the Jerusalem Post can now confirm, based on verified photos of the bodies, that the reports of babies being burnt and decapitated in Hamas's assault on something. I don't know what the name of that place is. Again, as I kind of mentioned earlier, when I, you know, speak on a political talk podcast or I post online, I'm like, yes, I want Palestine to be free because I want Palestinians to, innocent Palestinians to stop being killed, that does not mean I'm sitting there saying like, oh yeah, Hamas, you crack on and you keep killing people. I don't want Israeli people or Palestinian people to be killed. I want there to be this sort of, again, I wouldn't personally call it a peace deal, but a ceasefire deal at least should be. I mean, I think it's a couple of months ago they said that there was some sort of ceasefire deal, but then it got broken because, you know, things happen. So that being one of the things that's happened. Then the quote tweet here from Neil Druckmann, it says, pure evil, this is what Israel is defending herself from. Reminder that Hamas's charter calls for the complete destruction of Israel. Given the opportunity, they do this to every single man, woman, child, and baby in Israel, and says never again. Again, just to kind of not back him up, but to, if we actually understand what he's trying to say there, if you are somebody who's from Israel, or from, this could be applied to any country, this doesn't have to be Israel, and someone is, well, not just attacking, but killing and, you know, doing violent things to the people from your homeland, you're obviously not going to be happy about that. Now, you can do the back and forth on like, okay, who should stop? Should Hamas stop first? Should they release hostages? Should Israel stop? Should they release hostages? It's kind of a sort of, they are pointing at each other going, no, you stop first. No, you stop first. No, you stop first, which is the whole cycle of violence thing and all that sort of stuff, which is where it needs to get to a point of, okay, let's just agree to both stop doing things to each other, so that we can, you know, stop the violence and move forward. So when I'm reading things like that, that's not me reading that and him thinking like, oh, he's rooting for Israel to, you know, keep going. What he's calling for there is, okay, this is what Israel is, again, you can say quote unquote defending, because it depends, you know, who you think should stop first, or what, they both should stop, but then it's a case of who's going to stop first, but neither of them wants to stop first, because then if one of them stops first, the other one keeps going, and then the other one shoots back, and that's where things get really, really frustrating. What he's simply kind of asking for here is, hey, this group of people are killing people from my country, the country I'm from, and not just killing them, but obviously doing really violent things to them. And he wants that to stop. Now, again, go back to what I said a minute ago. That doesn't mean you have to agree or accept what Neil has said there, but I think we can understand his point of view. Like, whether you're, you know, a German person from Germany, or a French person from France, or an English person from England, and somebody is, you know, harming people from your country, you're not going to be happy with that, and you're going to want whatever group it is to stop. Now, the details on how that actually is going to be stopped, or hopefully stopped, is a different thing. So yeah, and this specific one, because the bit I talked about a minute ago is like, okay, the stuff with Ellie, and then what he saw earlier in his life, and how that kind of influenced a piece of maybe Last of Us 2 story. This one here is more specific to, again, his kind of thoughts on the conflict. So what do you think of what Neil has said in this post?
It is understandable. I mean, it is understandable for an Israeli person to post something like that, particularly, you know, about
particularly something Jewish as well,
which is absolutely horrendous. Israeli Jewish, and it's something that is absolutely horrendous and should not be happening. I don't think anybody should be particularly surprised that he's, you know, posting that this is awful, because it is. I mean, if you took out the fact that he was Israeli, or, you know, assuming that article is correct, and, you know, I've not seen it, I can't tell you.
Yeah, because there have been some false reports of, like, because certain things happening.
There is that point. But, given what was said in that report, I think any sensible person's reaction to it is, that's appalling, because these are innocent people, or, you know, in this case, it's innocent babies. You know, obviously that's appalling. You know, so, I mean, there are issues with the wider conflict, and there has been for years. And how on earth they're ever going to sort it out, I have no idea.
That's why when I see that's why when I see these posts of like, oh, why don't Hamas just release the hostages? Then it'll all be and, over. It's like, no, that's not. It's not as simple as that. It really isn't.
Yeah, so. I mean, it's people like to just go, oh, well, you just pick a side, and it's really not that easy when it comes to, you know, that conflict particularly is they've got themselves in a horrific mess, and you know, it's how. I mean, if I knew how to solve that conflict, you know, I'm sure
you'd
get a Nobel Peace Prize for it. But it is a horrendously complex situation, but on that specific tweet, his response to that doesn't, to me, seem particularly unreasonable. You know, it's a report, as I said, I never seen it. I can't verify whether it's a true report or not, but it was a report about babies being murdered. And I mean, if you'd said anything other than this is horrendous, I'd be quite surprised. So, you know, I don't think his response to that was unexpected.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So that's the second one. The last one I've got here is, so this is one from Instagram. This is one where Neil has reposted a photo that someone is given like this speech or something, and he's trying to sort of, you know, I'll just read it out. Says, I'm finding it difficult to articulate my complicated thoughts on what's going on in my homeland. Again, it's where he's from. Where he's from. Multiple people that are very close to me have been affected. This post by, I think it says Alex Delman here. I'm not sure who that person is, but they're just, you know, reposting what this person said. Captures some of my feelings quite well. I'll leave it here and step away from social media for a while. Sometimes that's just a good idea. I pray this terrible conflict gets resolved peacefully in our lifetime. Now, for those of you who wondered, because I didn't actually know this until yesterday, what age was it that I saw him? 47, I think it said that he was. So, which was something I didn't know before. So the post he's referencing, so these aren't Neil's words, but this is something he's saying, like, okay, this person has explained a better way of, you know, explaining their feelings, and he agrees with that. It says, I'm seeing so much purple prose and careful writing and hand ringing and contextualizing, and people viewing this through the lens of their personal philosophies and politics. Fine, good for everyone. All of it is needed. I think that means a sort of, okay, get all of your thoughts out there and we'll sort of figure it out. With all that said, the murder of innocents is never acceptable. The desecration of corpses is never acceptable. The taking of children as hostages is never acceptable. The celebration of murder, especially the murder of civilians, is never acceptable. To excuse or justify war crimes strips both victims and perpetrators of their humanity, so don't. And I think this next bit's the most important part as well. And pray for the millions of Israelis and Palestinians who are now squarely in harm's way because of yesterday's violence and everything that has led to it. So, referencing kind of the history and how it's just going on and on and on sort of thing. So, for those of you out there, again, who are kind of like, you know, he's supporting quote-unquote Israel and he's, you know, happy with what they're doing and the propaganda injection in Last of Us 2 and all that sort of stuff, I think this one clears it up more, even more than the other ones, especially when he is saying, like, I don't want Israelis or Palestinians to die, which I would hope, in terms of agreeing, we would all agree with that. We just don't yes. want... I mean, again, to me, Israel has done the worst of the two sides, and they've killed far, 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 far more people. But at the end of the day, whether it's a case of who needs to release the hostages first or whatever... What we should all want and agree with at the end of the day is for all the hostages to be released and nobody else to be shot or killed or harmed. Unfortunately, it's not that simple. So again, with that, where he sort of... Because there are some people out there, and I'm not sure how many of them are actually from Israel or how many of them are Jewish, who are kind of very blindly following Israel and sort of like... are almost ignoring the amount of Palestinians that have been murdered and just like, hey, Hamas, why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? And it's sort of... For those people, they are kind of more being blinded on kind of ignoring why Hamas is doing what it's doing and ignoring the deaths of Palestinians and just sticking up for one side. Whereas to me, at least from what I'm reading from these and other things that I've read, that's not what Neil's saying at all. Neil is, because even in the actual bit that he says here, I pray this terrible conflict gets resolved peacefully in our lifetime, and says... yeah, people close to him that have been affected and all this sort of thing. So I think what also might be happening here, and again, social media is a messy place to go to, especially Twitter. There are still some useful and some nice people on Twitter, but the scales are tipping day by day, I suppose. And because to me, when you listen to somebody, in my opinion, more level-headed, like Neil Druckmann, and look, I don't know Neil Druckmann personally, I've never... met him, or you know, I don't know. So I mean, I only knew his age, you know, yesterday. So, you know, I don't know him as a person. But sometimes there's two kind of ways for Israeli people to kind of approach this. You can either do the more blind thing, where you ignore what your country's done to Palestinians and like prop up Israel more. And say, like, okay, Hamas, why don't you just do what we ask and not consider what they're doing? Whereas clearly to me here, Neil's sort of like, okay, obviously he's not happy that Hamas is killing people from his homeland, and that is a thing that's happening, which is what we read from the other post. But just, he wants the conflict to be over. But then there's just people that are blinded by... are we posting Israel flag or something like that? It means, again, you go down the rabbit hole and the, you know, almost manipulation of, oh, that means you've injected, you know, the propaganda in the game and all that sort of stuff. And people just get kind of carried away with that. What do you think of, this is the last post that I have, by the way. What do you think of this one?
I think, yeah, Neil is... very succinctly sort of gone, look, I can't really express what I'm feeling, but this guy does it really well. And he's basically, the basic gist of that post is, look, we just want this to stop completely. We don't want anybody killing anybody else. We just don't want this conflict to be happening at all. I want to find some way through it. And I think that is pretty much what everybody wants, mm-hmm. you know? I mean, you know, or the majority of the world that he's watching from outside these countries, I think it's like, you know, we just want this to stop and the killing to stop. So, I think, yeah, I mean, he's going to have strong feelings about it. It is his own country. As you say, I'm not Jewish, I'm not Muslim, I've not, you know, I don't have any connection to either of these countries. But yeah, I don't want to see wars and people killing each other. You know, I don't want that to be happening in the world. And that seems to be what Neil is pointing at there and saying they'd like a resolution, as the other guy's words were, you know, they want a resolution to this in some way, and whatever that resolution is. And I mean, the problem is they've been trying for like, what, 50, 60 years to, if not longer, to come to that resolution and have failed dismally. You know, that's where they are. I mean, what he seems to be saying is he just wants it to stop. And wants the killing to stop, which, of course, so.
I mean, for anybody listening who's been listening to me specifically talk about, you know, Last of Us and Naughty Dog and Neil Druckmann and stuff, if anybody's trying to think of like, okay, thinks I'm, you know, being maybe a fanboy or I'm defending Neil or something like that. Yeah, it is, again, I wanted to do this before the season started as well, because I would be quite surprised even still, because obviously the conflict probably unfortunately will still be going on throughout obviously season two and probably after that as well, and probably for some time after that. Of course, we'd love to wake up tomorrow morning and find that both sides have completely stopped and that's it, but unfortunately that's probably not going to happen. Yeah, again, I just think, for whatever discussion we're all going to have about this, whether it's, you know, me and you, other people or listeners and whatever else, none of us are really going to get anywhere unless we kind of properly listen to each other and we actually understand what we're all actually trying to say about this conflict. So, because one thing I kind of didn't want as well, not that this would be my fault or something, but like, we start covering season two, obviously I'm, you know, still incredibly, incredibly, incredibly excited for this season. And as much as this might, well, not, it won't dampen it for me, because I'm still going to watch all these episodes probably more than once, let's be honest, and watch it very happily and all that sort of thing. Once we get the season two premiere, and because I'd be more surprised if this didn't happen than if it did. If you start seeing posts about like, hey, don't support it and boycott it because this is what Neil said, and you know, people start twisting his words and taking things out of context and whatever else. I mean, if anybody, you know, wants to, because, you know, we've all got very strong feelings on this situation, and it's obviously a very intense and horrible thing that's going on, but for anybody that does kind of want to write in and say like, Matt, you're wrong about something else, or you shouldn't, I mean, you're not going to convince me at this point to, like, you know, not support the game or support the season, because that's just not really going to happen. But like, if someone like listens to, let's say, my review of episode one or something, and probably sees, I mean, episode could be terrible, but I doubt it. And if I'm sitting here after all these years waiting for the episode, and I come on here and I'm you know, really happy and excited and loving what I'm seeing, and then the listener kind of comes across some post from somewhere blaming Neil for something, and then kind of comes along and like, hey, Matt, what are you doing? Why are you sort of covering this? Haven't you seen what this guy is talking about? Because part of me, to be honest, kind of, because this gets so exhausting and it gets so, I say exhausting, none of us, well, some of you might be living the situation, unfortunately, but for, you know, for me and David and other kind of people, for us to say it's exhausting is kind of understandable, but we're not actually living the situation either, so you've got to think of kind of the people who actually are, and not even the people who are directly in the conflict, but people that are kind of outside it, because, you know, Neil lives obviously in America and works at Naughty Dog and that sort of thing. So I don't know, there's a way that this discussion gets very messy and gets very exhausting, and nobody really gets anywhere with it, and nobody sort of, again, people start just shouting at each other and accusing people of wild things, and, you know, supporting terrorism and all this sort of stuff. So yeah, I would just kind of, for anybody that does kind of want to write in about this and everything, just kind of, again, you're allowed to be angry and annoyed and frustrated at the situation, because I think we all are. It's just, I want us to try and be mature and be adults about how we talk about this, and not act like, you know, scrappy children, essentially. I'm almost now thinking of, like, you know, like that in the House of Commons, where they're all sort of moaning at each other and they're acting like children. To not have that kind of happen. So yeah, I'm actually glad we recorded this before we're doing my spoiler preview and then the hour preview, because then we can just kind of move past this a bit and then just enjoy the season we're about to get. So yeah, that's my thoughts on it. But it's going to keep going on, which is going to be frustrating for everybody. And it just is what it is, I suppose. There is only so much we can do, but I'm glad we did sat down and talk about this. So yeah. David, any kind of like final thoughts on this whole thing?
No, not really. I mean, other than I nothing that you've read out. And I mean, I came to this not really having seen any stuff about it. And, you know, I mean, although I'm on social media, I'm very careful about what I follow on and what I look at on social media. So, I mean, this had completely bypassed me. I hadn't really, you know, I wasn't until you talked to me about doing this that I hadn't really looked at anything relating to it. And I mean, from the stuff that you've read me, and if that was what he was getting in trouble over and people had an issue with him about, I don't really see from those three tweets anything that I wouldn't have expected somebody from Israel to say, you know. I mean, and none of it seemed unmeasured or unreasonable, really, you know.
See, that's what I mean when I've listened to a whole bunch of different interviews and, you know, videos and stuff where Neil's talked about obviously Last of Us among other things, and he just always seems very level-headed to me. And even in a bit more pulled away from like questions about Last of Us, like when I watched him talk with Alex Garland about, you know, directing and films and media and in the industry and stuff, when you just look at somebody who's just sitting there being cool, calm and collected, is the same thing. I mean, I've gone back and like, you know, when I was doing that big podcast project a bit ago, when I was like revisiting like the PS3 version of Last of Us and stuff, because I started watching different interviews and bits and pieces, and obviously YouTube went, hey, I'm watching that stuff, we're going to feed you more and more of it. And then I got stuck in my own kind of rabbit hole. I did end up finding interviews from, like, you know, 2011, 2012, before Last of Us 1 even came out. And even back then, still seems like a measured, good person and things like that. So, yeah, again, this wasn't kind of... I'm glad we did do this way rather than putting this into the season preview and stuff. And now we can just kind of... yeah, just cover the season, so which will be very, very exciting. But again, you are still going to get, even from if there are some of those people out there listening to this and kind of are really hot-headed about, like, you know, accusing Neil of all sorts, or kind of naming him as, like, you know, a murderer and a terrorist and all this sort of thing. Yeah, so... anyway, I think we've covered this. I think we can kind of... again, we don't have to get rid of this discussion. Like, if somebody wants to write in with sensible things... Because if you do write in and you write something really angry and, like, accuse us of whatever, or accuse Neil of whatever, it's not really worth responding to that, because then the conversation, again, just gets really messy and it just kind of... it just spirals from there. So... anyway, and by the way, for those that might be thinking, like, oh, you've picked out these three posts and it makes Neil look in a good... I had a good look for a good kind of half an hour yesterday. I was like, okay, is there any other social media posts that kind of make Neil look the wrong way or something like that? I did come across a bunch of, like, different Reddit threads, but I didn't really want to kind of go in there and look at what people are saying in response to that sort of thing. So... there we go. All right, let's put a pin in this. We can pin it and honestly kind of hopefully not really talk about it anymore, because I'm really, really looking forward to seeing what this season's going to be like and kind of all that sort of thing. But we can have a much, much nicer discussion about you know, the preview and being excited and finally watching this thing I've been waiting years for this second season adaption. Anyway, for any of you that have got any thoughts, feelings, questions, comments... MatthewWoodEntertainmentTalk.org, social media, eTalkUK or Entertainment Talk, and there's information in the show notes. In the meantime, you can find everything else that we do on EntertainmentTalk.org, so TV, games, films, Man United podcasts. Reminder, there was no United cast yesterday. I'm not going to sit here and explain why. I already explained on the, what episode was it? The Real Sociedad episode, as to which games I'm going to be covering, but I will be covering the Manchester Derby this Sunday, because that should be fun. So check that out. Just a side note as well, on podcasts at the moment, and this will be an ongoing thing for a bit of time, If you come across an episode, whether it's on podcast platforms or on the site, and it plays the incorrect episode, please let me know which one that is, because we have a thing going on at the moment with that. So, yeah, just let me know which episode it is, and I will look into that one. What else is there? Yep. So that's that at the moment. If you want to support, of course, all the content we've got, you can head over to entertainmenttalk.org and podcast platforms. Entertainment Talk for TV, games, films, Mary and I podcasts. I did do a gaming talk this week. Had to do it solo because mine and Robert's schedules didn't quite line up. So you can check that one out. Of course, we've got this podcast. Got Yellow Jackets on Friday. It's interesting, actually. That's going to be the season finale of Yellow Jackets. Is going to be on the Friday right before the Sunday of Last of Us coming back, so one nicely goes into the other. Of course, we've got the penultimate episode this week for Yellow Jackets, so what weird, wonderful and wild things are going to happen, because it's been really, really good this season so far. So check out Yellow Jackets, hear me roar, or on that podcast. Film reviews, there's still going to be a few of those. So yeah, just check out our content, entertainmenttalk.org, podcast platforms, Entertainment Talk. Word of mouth social media, listening to more stuff is how you can support us. Of course, word of mouth social media. If someone mentions something we podcasted on, please tell them about said podcast. Patreon, $5, $10 level tiers, ad-free podcast review options. Geektown Radio Tuesdays, geektown.co.uk. David, that is yours. What's going on over there?
Well, yeah, Geektown Radio out this week. Got a new co-host on this week. So we added Dominguez to the roster, who is somebody I know from Comic Con, and he's a friend of Daryl. So, you know, we brought him in to join us on the podcast. So that was good. That episode is up now. Also, there is an episode where behind the scenes episode that went out this week, which I interviewed a director called Pete Chapman, who worked on so many different shows. He's worked on Mythic Quest, High Potential, Blackish, Grownish, Mixedish, Interior Chinatown, the US version of Ghost, Chicago Fire, Grey's Anatomy, Yellow Jackets as well, as you were just talking about. Always Sunny, The Flight 306 Attendant.
He did.
Episode. 306.
That's a very, very interesting episode for him to do.
Yes. So,
yeah.
So, and he talks a bit about, there was a montage sequence, I think he talks about adding into that episode. And he's a really interesting guy, you know, a sort of jobbing TV director. But that episode is up on the main Geektown radio feed. So if you subscribe to the podcast, you will find that. And it's on the website at geektown.co.uk as well. So go and get that there. And I've got an interview coming up with which I have to finish editing, but that's with the production designer for Daredevil, so nice. That will be going out soon as well, so that's a really interesting one coming up. So because some good behind the scenes stuff coming out as well, but that's all on geektown.co.uk and the Geektown podcast radio feed, so you can go find that.
Cool. Good, good. Maybe one of us will interview Neil Druckmann one day. So who knows?
Maybe.
Maybe, yes. He's a very, very busy person right now. So, you know, directing a new IP, running a high-regarded PlayStation studio, trying to adapt one of his games into a second season. You know, no pressure. And then maybe one day coming up with the end of The Last of Us. So no pressure on that front either.
Yes.
All right, cool. So yeah, go to geektown.co.uk and check out Geektown Radio for all that good stuff. Hoping that at some point you post about Yellow Jackets being renewed, because people are getting scared. So we'll see when that happens, or if that happens, there's no guarantee, but hopefully that happens at some point soon. You can also, of course, follow us on Twitch at eTalkUK, but we are more regular on YouTube, which is Entertainment Talk Plays. Thanks for listening, and maybe we should have mentioned a little bit earlier, we will be doing, next Wednesday, we'll be doing our actual Season 2, the spoiler-free preview podcast, and then I think tomorrow I might do the spoiler preview podcast, so obviously, if you haven't played the game or whatever, don't listen to that one. And then, Sunday 13th/14th, depending on where you live or what time you're watching, Last of Us Season 2. Last of Us will be back for Season 2, adapting possibly the first half. We'll have a conversation about that, of Last of Us Part 2. So, there we go. Anyway, thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you next week for the preview, where I'm not really allowed to say a lot of things. So, all right, we'll see you then. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time. Goodbye.
Bye.
Recording stopped.